Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about new insured vehicle data out of China. I've also got a couple of updates on Tesla's Cybertruck, news on, or some market research rather, from S&P, and quite a few other news items as well. So we'll hop right into it. Tesla today down 1.1%, relatively quiet day for the stock, closing at $180.83. The NASDAQ was down 0.6% on the day today. So again, pretty quiet, generally performing in line with Tesla's beta. One thing I did want to cover on the stock quickly here is short interest. I've seen a lot more discussion on this in recent days, of course. Makes sense to take it as a point of interest with the stock decline that we have seen over the last month or so. So just wanted to take a quick look at that. As we remember from a long time ago when we used to talk about short interest all the time, this is relatively delayed in terms of how it gets reported, and it only is reported every couple of weeks. So our last look into this, which was just recently published, is from November 15th. Short interest at that time was about 78.3 million shares. So it looks like it is up significantly from a few months ago where we had 20 million shares. But just as a reminder, when you're looking at this data, this is not actually split adjusted. So you can see here between the 15th and the 31st of August, when Tesla did their 3-for-1 stock split, you see short interest increasing by that same ratio. So if you happen across this data and you thought maybe this is a big reason for Tesla's recent decline, you got to factor in that split when looking at this data from the NASDAQ. So just wanted to point that out. We still have seen an increase since August of about 18 million shares, about $3.5 billion of short interest. So relative to Tesla's float, not all that significant, but definitely a little bit of an increase in recent months. But still, if we go back to, you know, June, May time period, short interest then was about 81 million shares on a split adjusted basis. So not anything that we haven't seen so far this year. So again, just because we've seen that brought up a little bit, wanted to discuss that today. Moving into China numbers. So we did get another week of data here. And as we talked about previously, what we're going to want to see here is just a continued, hopefully, increase with this from a week over week perspective. So, and we did see that here in this case. We're getting the data for November 21st through November 27th. 16,121 vehicles is the number for this week, up about 1,800 vehicles from the prior week. So really happy with this number. As we talked about last time we got these, we're seeing a really strong quarter so far. So if we look at just November, we're almost at 55,000 vehicles. We got to factor out this one day here from October 31st, since this is on a weekly basis. But if we look at the November total, again, just slightly below 55,000, way, way above any second month in China so far. The previous record was from Q3 of about, you know, 34, 35,000 vehicles or so. So again, really happy with how this is progressing so far. If we look at quarter to date, so we're looking at the first 2 months of the quarter in combination here versus the prior 2 months of quarters, historically, we can see that again, Tesla here at nearly 75,000 vehicles, well ahead of any prior record, in this case, about 45,000 vehicles back in Q4 last year. So continuing to see a really nice build here. As we had talked about last time though, while this is good news and I'm really happy with this result, we still have a long way to go in the quarter, 34 days remaining from an insurance perspective. Here is total sales in prior quarters. You can kind of see how we're, you know, coming in against that so far. Lots of time left, but a lot of vehicles left for us to see. If we want to hit, you know, 135,000 or so, continue to see nice growth in China, which is kind of what we should expect after a price cut, then we need about 12,000 or so vehicles registered on a weekly basis for the remaining 5 weeks or so in the quarter. So right now you can see our pace has exceeded that for the last 3 weeks. If that can kind of continue, it's going to be in a great spot. But of course, that's the question, is if it can really continue or if this is just a bubble that is following the price cut, which we would have had right around here. So again, really happy with this number, and it puts us on a great trajectory, as we can see with this first 2 months of data, but still a long way to go in the quarter. And generally, retail sales, of course, have been backloaded. We're still seeing a lot of export action. If you've been following any of the ship tracking stuff, that's looking really, really strong in this quarter. So with that, combined with strong insurance data here, we are looking, should be looking pretty good in terms of Tesla's consistent production rate. I know a lot of questions out there about impacts of COVID. So again, on the production side, the further, or the more continuance we see of these strong numbers, the better in that regard as well. While we are on China, one quick update I wanted to make here. We talked previously about how BYD had increased their prices by about 6,000 RMB, or about $840. One of the reasons they gave for that was because of the expiration of the new energy vehicle purchase credit at the end of the year. So that's when they're going to be increasing their prices. I had commented before that I was a little bit confused about why BYD gave that as a reason for price increases. I've gotten some clarification on that, so I wanted to pass that along. That is because the credit actually does go to the manufacturer. So the consumer sees that lower price, but then that credit, rather than going to the consumer, goes to the manufacturer to accommodate that lower price that the consumer sees. So BYD raising their prices kind of makes sense in that regard, as they would no longer be receiving that credit. So I wanted to pass that along, and that clarified that comment that I was a little bit confused about before on BYD. All right, next up, we've got an update on South Korea. We had talked about this, I think, yesterday, or maybe it was last week. But South Korea here is commenting a little bit more on their, get the right page here, on their interest in having a Tesla factory in South Korea. So their government commenting that they will offer a tailored incentive package to encourage Tesla to set up an electric vehicle gigafactory, according to South Korean president. They did also say that they're trying to tailor their approach to grant some advantages to these specific companies when asked about potentially courting Tesla. So one of the reasons they, or one of the specific points that they mentioned, was minimizing risks from unions. And Reuters here giving a pretty interesting data point on that. It looks like South Korea in general has seen an average of 39 days of work stoppage each year due to labor disputes over the past 10 years. Looks like that's about 5 times higher than what the United States would generally see. So that would be obviously a pretty high concern for any possible investments in the region, not just from Tesla, but from other companies as well. So that was specifically pointed out by the South Korean president as something that they would look to stem in the case of any Tesla investment. So again, pretty heavily courting them, and it'll be interesting to see how that continues to develop. Hopefully we'll hear an announcement on Tesla's next location by the end of the year. Hasn't really been any updates on that since probably the second quarter earnings call. I would expect that probably falls into next year now at this point, but hopefully we'll find out soon. All right, let me get back here. Next, we've got a couple of updates on a Cybertruck. We had talked previously about how Tesla had listed quite a few job openings, primarily for the body in white for the Cybertruck at Giga Texas. We now have a handful of new listings joining those listings. Primarily, they seem to be in the stamping department for the Cybertruck. So roughly doubling the amount of listings that we had there. Always nice to see more action on the Cybertruck front. And another update here on from Idra, of course, the producer of the 9,000-ton Gigapress that we expect to be used for the Cybertruck. Idra today posting on LinkedIn saying that they have a new Gigapress assembly happening at their assembly factory over in Italy. So we know that this isn't being assembled in Giga Texas based on the background here. We can see that this does match, you know, if we look at some of these beams up top, we can see that those do match previous posts that Idra's made from their factory. Here's them shipping off the 9,000-ton press about a month ago to Tesla. So if anyone was a little bit confused on maybe this is actually being assembled now at Giga Texas, we still have not seen that come in. We should be expecting it pretty soon. But this is actually a second Gigapress machine, which we would expect to be used by Tesla as well. We talked about this a few weeks ago when Idra had posted also on LinkedIn, next please, with a picture of a casting die and a hashtag of 9,000 ton press. So exciting to see that in combination with this. It looks like Tesla ramping up for the Cybertruck and is going to keep on rolling with that with another press from Idra. Next, we've got an update here from S&P. They have shared some interesting data on the electric vehicle market. The first table that they shared that's pretty interesting is just market share broken up by sort of segment. Let me zoom in a little bit on that. So we can see in the total EV market, Tesla in the United States having about 65% market share. Of course, that is down slightly as more competitors have joined the market. Tesla's going to need to compete with the combination of those growth rates with their own individual growth rate. So of course, that's to be expected. We've talked about that many times. But interesting here to see the registration share in the EV or the luxury EV market, Tesla owning about 86% of that with just a few competitors at the top of the market, which we have seen from Tesla has proven to be a relatively good strategy, working up from that more profitable segment and then down market into more high volume, lower margin segments. Not the strategy we're seeing followed by most though. For the non-luxury EV market, Tesla is by S&P is excluded from that in this graph here, but we can see that that's, you know, pretty evenly divided up between a multitude of competitors. Ford's slightly ahead with 28% market share in that category. So it'll be interesting to see how that continues to evolve. And then the other piece of interesting data that they shared here is Tesla conquests. So this is looking at vehicles that Tesla has essentially overtaken or vehicles that were traded in for Tesla vehicles. So maybe no surprise given the amount of volume that these manufacturers do, but Toyota is actually the leading conquest from Tesla at about 15%. Honda, they're at 13%. So both of those making up about a fourth of Tesla conquests. Mercedes and BMW making up another eighth or so. And you've got another third from other manufacturers. And you can see just kind of an even breakout between the rest there. So kind of interesting to see this. Of course, we have not, you know, this isn't necessarily unexpected. We've heard many times from Tesla over the years about the number of, or the types of vehicles that were being traded in for Teslas. We can see, you know, this is back in 2018 from one of Tesla's earnings calls. They talked about how for the Model 3, the most traded in vehicles were the Honda Accord, Honda Civic, Toyota Prius, Nissan Leaf, and then in the more premium segment, BMW 3 Series. So again, not necessarily too surprising, but nice to see a bit of an update on that since we haven't heard too much about that in recent quarters or recent years. I also had to kind of chuckle here at S&P. not really super related to Tesla here, but they talked about how Honda owners in particular are showing an interest in electric vehicles. Unfortunately for Honda, its first EV isn't expected until 2024. So I just kind of had to laugh at that when I was reading that, kind of a real dig at Honda from S&P in their research report here. Probably not intentional, but interesting nonetheless. All right, a few other items here. Marco RP Tesla, often giving us supercharger information, has noticed that Hertz is building some superchargers or having some superchargers added at one of their locations at the Reno Tahoe Airport in Nevada. They're adding four superchargers into the Hertz parking lot. I would expect that as Hertz continues to take more deliveries of their massive order from Tesla, that they will look to expand that charging, those supercharging locations, or probably Hertz dedicated locations as they continue to expand their Tesla fleet. So kind of cool to see that, and hopefully we'll continue to see that in the future. Then we do have an update here from a member on the Tesla Motors Club forum, Maui Fish Taco, great name there. They have just taken a delivery of a new 2023 model year refreshed Model S. And interestingly, they've noticed that the rear screen seems to have been updated in this version. So you can see here that the bezel looks a lot smaller than what we have previously seen. If we pull up a marketing photo from Tesla here with the initial launch, you know, you can see how thick that bezel is on that screen there, and how much smaller this one is here. He's got an old screen protector that he used on a previous version that he is showing in comparison as well. So looks like about 50% reduction in the size of the bezel. So nice to see that update for the Model S and presumably the Model X for the next model year. All right, last couple of things here. So we've got an update from Not a Tesla App noting that Tesla has updated their mobile app and a couple of new features in here. First, we'll be able to check release notes within the app. So no longer having to go to the vehicle to see what is included in a new release. Of course, you can install that from the app, or you can trigger it to install from the app. So it'll be nice to see what is included in those release notes during that process. Live camera button. This is just a quick change with Sentry mode. You can now kind of one tap to get into the live camera view, which will let you see, you know, the views of four different cameras, exterior of the vehicle. Range analysis. So probably taking in some of the new energy graph features that we have seen in the vehicle, putting those in the app. And then an interesting item showing up in the app, not in use yet, but viewing cabin camera as an option, which presumably would be added to this live camera view that we have seen with the four exterior cameras. Looks like Tesla is planning on adding that as well. So that'll be nice, definitely nice to check on things, especially for things like dog mode. Having a look at what's going on inside the vehicle would be really nice. So hopefully we'll see that added soon. a couple of remote features, boombox, things like that, split climate as well. So pretty big update within the app, and nice to see some of those new features added. One thing here, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this because this was happening kind of right as I was getting ready to record, so I haven't had a chance to really do a full analysis on this, but the Wall Street Journal today publishing an article talking about Tesla's brand, the perception of Tesla's brand, and how that has changed in recent months. So we can see here some data collected by YouGov, which, you know, not a source I'm super familiar with, so that's why I say I do want to do a little bit more analysis on this and understand their methodology better, but their data is showing that Tesla's favorability has declined a little bit in recent months, and particularly over the last few months. So you can see the net favorability that they measure has been positive most of the year, but has now recently declined and flipped into the negative territory, meaning more people have a negative view than a favorable view in recent days since basically the start of November, but continuing a downtrend from basically a peak in June earlier this year. They also have looked at this by political party, and it does appear that this, you know, Tesla's favorability is becoming a little bit more split. So favorability increasing slightly in recent reports for Republicans, but falling pretty dramatically with Democrats, only about a 10% favorability rate now versus, you know, 28% before. So this doesn't, again, need to do a little bit more research on the methodology, but I believe this would be only if you have a favorable rather than something that falls into a neutral view. Otherwise, I would expect this to be a little bit higher going back earlier this year. But favorability, as those mix out between Republicans and Democrats, looks to be, you know, falling, as we can see here as well. Now you can see that this is relatively volatile, you know, month to month. So again, I don't think this is like a death knell for Tesla's brand or the brand perception. I think that there's a lot of things that Tesla can do to improve this. And, you know, with Elon being more political, it's probably not too surprising to many, but I think that's been a concern for a lot of people as well. So, you know, it's not something that we want to see, but, you know, some of these surveys are kind of showing that at this point in time. So we'll just have to continue to see how that evolves over time. I'll try to do a little bit more research on that. And if there's anything else for that, I'll cover that tomorrow. Last couple of things then, Volkswagen update here. So Volkswagen is in talks with Foxconn for their Scout brand, which we've talked about before. They intend to bring back in the United States. And let me flip over. This is something that was reported by Automobile Woche. I butchered that one. Not even going to try that one again. But they're reporting this, and they did say that Volkswagen is also considering for this brand building their own plant. But unsurprisingly, given the recent changes that we have talked about with their Trinity project and things like that, this is apparently the least likely option. I would be pretty shocked if Volkswagen ended up going through with that for this brand. So it's going to be interesting to follow Foxconn. You know, we've talked a lot about China competitors and how that's one of the more significant competitive threats or the more significant players in what we expect the future market to be. I think Foxconn will probably be among that group as well. Of course, working with different brands, but certainly they seem to be moving very quickly to get pretty heavily involved. So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves over time. And then last thing here, just as we head into tomorrow, reminder that the Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is going to be speaking shortly before market close. So an item to keep an eye on for tomorrow, in addition to quite a few economic reports. All right, that is it for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, November 30th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.